Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, Memorial Day, we celebrated that. It's a tough day for a lot of people sometimes, just remembering. And maybe tough's not the right word. It can be difficult, but I think they remember with fondness, you know, that sacrifice. And then they reevaluate what that has meant to them, for those who had served with those who made the ultimate sacrifice. We talk a bit more about that today because we know, because of Memorial Day, people are coming back from engagements with more than just the battle scars that we can see. We talk about that a bit more today with, it's going to be Dee Dee Baker from Dog Tag Buddies, and Tina Beach will join us as well from Tenacious Dames. A couple of events going on that will support our Montana veterans we talk about today on Voices of Montana. Dee Dee Baker, founder and executive director of Dog Tag Buddies. A bit later on, Tina Beach will join us, Tenacious Dames. Dee Dee, thanks for being here. I appreciate that. And for the work that you do, this kind of started... Well, of course, we have Memorial Day, and you guys have there's a big event upcoming. We'll get into a Ride for Life. But we were speaking with Mike McManus, who's the Veterans Navigation Network Program Coordinator. And he mentioned, you know, Dog Tag Buddies. We've had you on the air before. Mm-hmm. But what struck me there was him saying that, you know, these service dog programs are not in every state that I'm aware of. And he talked about how effective that they can be for veterans. That's got to make you feel good that you started something. And, of course, when you go back to your story and how it started as well, it's another moving part of this all.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I always tell people when 9/11 hit, it not only transformed the landscape of the world we live in, but it affected each and every one of us in a way we didn't know was going to happen. You know, I remember watching that take place on that September morning with my daughter. And we watched the towers fall. We watched all of that take place. And what we didn't know was 3 years later in 2004, my husband, who was a member of the Montana National Guard, was called up for active duty to go to Iraq. And I think for me, because he had been in the National Guard, when he joined back in the 80s when we were kids, the role of the National Guard was to help within the borders of the United States during crisis. And the fact that as they started, you know, evolving, getting, you know, sent out of country was not unheard of, but 9/11 really changed everything for all of us. And him going to Iraq and the things that he experienced as a whole with his unit as they were there as part of the Montana National Guard contingency, coming home, we weren't prepared for those things. And I think watching and being a part of that, you know, there's always things that you remember. And I remember the call I got from him on President's Day of 2005. Was a Saturday. I was home alone. And the phone call, the first words out of his mouth were, "I just want you to know everybody's okay." You know, instantly your heart sinks and you go, okay, well, where are we going with this?
That's what you needed to hear first, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. And then the next words out of his mouth are, you know, "I'd really like to thank the people that created these up-armored Humvees because it saved our lives." And when he went in country, they had gone with the equipment from Montana, which was not up-armored. And on that particular day, they had an IED explode just outside the passenger door of his Humvee. And he said, you know, "We all walked away. We're fine." That led us down the path of what does PTSD look like and what does a traumatic brain injury look like? So for us, it is very personal. And, you know, our challenges that we experienced from that point going forward, I did not know I would be doing what I'm doing today, but I'm so grateful that that's the path that it took me down.
And you noticed, again, and that story is not unusual, but it's still very moving and still very difficult for people. You noticed through all the troubles, you know, some agitations here and there, or just emotions kind of getting the better of him for a lot of reasons. And then he'd laid down with the dog and everything was right with the world again. That's amazing.
Yep. And it's not unheard of. You know, we talk about the different therapeutic components of what we find in life that gives us that calming effect. You know, we've got equine therapy, we've got canine therapy, we've got, you know, art, we've got, you know, activity, physical activity, all these different things. And for each person, it's a little bit different. for us, going down the path of the dog was, you know, we both, he and I grew up having dogs. We love dogs. It's our world. And to watch him have those really hard days, I mean, days that we couldn't really even explain what was going on, to come in the house, to sit down, have the dog crawl up in his lap, and you could just feel the air change. You could just watch him go, and that decompression. And, you know, when we started this, we didn't know we would be doing service dogs. That was not the path we were going down. I was not a dog trainer. I was not, you know, I didn't even know that was a thing that
right.
you could
That's what
do
I was going to ask. When you saw that and you started thinking, wow, this helps this veteran. I wonder if it can help other veterans. Then you start looking into it and then you discover, well, actually, there is a program out there, but...
It actually, what happened was we were going to help veterans find dogs that were at the shelters and rescues and get them into obedience training. Because what we wanted to do is we wanted to give that veteran an opportunity to stop isolating. I don't go anywhere. I can't leave my house. I can't do these things. How do we get them out of that space? And so for us, getting them to come out to training, that was kind of where we started. And we're going to just do obedience. We're going to help them find the perfect dog at the shelters and the rescues. And then we're going to get them obedience training. Because who doesn't want a dog that when you say, Fifi, sit, Fifi sits. Like, that's the coolest thing ever. And it really started because I was training dogs at the time to be therapy dogs. And I made my husband go with me. And I had this little dog that she, the first time a trainer gave her a hot dog, she took the hot dog, she turned her head and spit it out. And I'm like, oh, honey, you're fun.
Good dog.
So when my husband, I'm like, okay, I need you to work with her. And when he worked with her and he told her name was Trinka, and he said, Trinka, sit. And she sat. He went, oh my gosh, did you see what she just did? And that was kind of that full circle of building that relationship, learning how to, we don't come talking dog. Dogs don't talk our language. We have to learn. And so we really were looking at it from the component of how can we help veterans get something that is going to be meaningful? Let's start with the dog. And as we started building this organization, I reached out to other organizations and nobody would talk to me because, yes, I found they were doing something. I didn't know about the service dog piece. I did not know that. And so as I started reaching out, what had happened was I had veterans coming to me saying, I need something so much more than that. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that. Let's see what we can do. One organization responded to me and basically what they said was, take your toys and go home. You're not a dog trainer. I went, okay, hold my beer. And that's what took us down that path of learning about service dogs and those components. And we can talk a little more later about what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Yeah.
Because we have built something that is entirely different from anybody else in the country.
Well, this is what's exciting, too. And I mentioned the reference from Mike McManus, again, Veterans Navigation Network. Dee Dee Baker is with us, founder and executive director of Dog Tag Buddies, a nonprofit organization. They offer veterans programs that pair veterans with, and you say, I like how you say it because it's so true, living with hidden injuries an awful lot, PTSD, TBI, MST. And those dogs are carefully selected for them as well. DogTagBuddies.org for more information. I kind of forgot where I was going there with that when I mentioned Mike again. But he told a story about how they're not in every state and how effective they were, as I mentioned. Oh, I know where it's going with that. Collaboration. Over the past 10 years or thereabouts, I'm seeing more, and a lot of it thanks to the Veterans Navigation Network, but other organizations, like you said, I don't have to be everything for every vet out there. That amount of collaboration together, I think has made all the difference for a lot of veterans over the past 10 years.
I would agree. And I think, you know, as a veteran service organization, you know, we're providing a service for a veteran and their family. And I can't do everything and be everything. So I need to know within our community, within our state, who else can do these things? Who can I refer these veterans and their families to? Because, you know, there might be things, housing insecurity, food insecurity, medical care, transportation, you know, there's all of these different components. And again, when we talk about the service dog, my program is not the program for every single veteran. So if I can't help them, who else can? Maybe it's going to the gym to work out. Maybe it's going to equine therapy up at Horses Spirits. Maybe it's something that Mike and his crew over at Veterans Navigation knows about. And really reaching out to these organizations and building relationships with them as well. Because when there's a whole lot of organizations that are funded through the government, there's a whole lot that are not. And without those of us that are not funded by the government jumping in and helping, we're actually taking the load off of these organizations that are working through funding and they've got short staff. We don't have enough providers. We don't have the things we need. What else can we do? So we're filling that gap, and it's super important that we do that in a meaningful way for the communities.
What did it take initially when you saw that idea and you started exploring it and you felt like, wow, there's a hole, we can fill it, but you didn't have government funding. You weren't even an organization at that point. And so that's where a lot of folks can get dissuaded from putting something on the ground and making sure it works.
I think the important thing for me was doing my homework and making sure if I'm going to do this, is there somebody else already doing it? Because if they are, why, you know, and we run into that a lot too. There's a lot of overlap with the veteran organizations. We really need to look at, is this a unique niche? And if it is, how are we going to become successful?
And you said yes.
And what does success look like?
What brought you to that point where I said, yes, I'm going to pour into this?
So as I told you, I was trying to reach out to these other organizations. There were fewer and fewer. So Dogs for Veterans with PTSD is a relatively new concept. It started in the late 2008, 2009, 2010. People really started looking at it going, hey, we could do something a little bit different with these service dogs. Let's look at this. And I didn't know about that, but I knew that there were organizations that were taking care of that piece of it. So I started reaching out to them. There was nothing in the state of Montana. Nothing. The ones across the country, there's different training models. So we use what's called the community training model. Most of them do what's called the national model. And what that means is they may or may not have a breeding program, but they take these young dogs and they train them fully over a year and a half to 2 year period. And then they pair an applicant with the dog. So the veteran has no say in it. They get to pull out their application. When they show up, if they're accepted to the program, they go, okay, here's your dog. Uh-huh. Now we're going to give you a crash course on how to handle this dog so that you can learn what the dog knows. So it's a crash course and it's pretty encapsulated. They have follow-up, but again, once they pair that dog, the dog goes through it, they send them home. For us, I wanted to do something different because I was talking about, I wanted to take away that isolation. We're in Montana and we are in an entirely different world. You go up and down the East Coast and the West Coast, you can throw a rock and hit 100,000 veterans in Florida. I mean, that's how dense it is. However, per capita, we are in the top 3 to 4 when we talk about veterans. So we have right around 90 to 100,000 veterans in Montana. We're also the fourth largest state. We're also really far north. And we're what's considered frontier rural. So when we look at helping our veterans, for most of our veterans for these national programs, they have to go to them, which means they have to travel out of state, away from their families, away from their comfort zone. Yes. For some veterans, that's okay. Some of them need a dog that's fully trained because they don't have the capacity to do that.
We're talking about how we help our veterans, those who come back with injuries and those that have hidden injuries. We talk frequently about how our suicide rate, not only with our veterans, but with our kids in Montana, it's a gut punch. And so there's groups out there that are doing something about that. Love to have you join us and join along with them. Back here, Tom Schultz alongside Dee Dee Baker, founder and executive director of Dog Tag Buddies, is with us here. And joining us a bit later on will be Tina Beach from Tenacious Dames. That's a motorcycle riding club, but they're teaming up with Dog Tag Buddies for a ride for tomorrow. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Why do they do this? I think you heard Tina, Dee Dee, pretty loud and clear, because it makes a difference and it matters and it helps. And there's a story that they have on their website. I'm just going to play a little bit of it here as well. It's a minute long, the story. You can read about it. It's a bit longer, but dogtagbuddies.org for more information. And this is the story of combat veteran Tom.
I have two boys that are very athletic and active in school and sports. And I wanted to go to their sporting events and watch them compete. But with the crowd, I couldn't do it. Since bombers come into my life, this has really been life-changing for me. I did serve 20 years active duty in the Army.
Bombers,
I have three combat tours. I did receive a traumatic brain injury from that. I had a lot of issues and anxiety being in crowds. With Dog Tag Buddies, you actually pair with a dog as a puppy. As the veteran and the dog, you go through the training together as a team. Through this program, I have learned how to be back out in public, being in those crowds, so I can go out to dinner, I can go to sporting events, and spend that time with my family. I'm never going to go back to the way I was before military service, but Bomber's here with me, and we're going to do it together, and it's going to be okay.
Help save two lives.
All right. That, again, from dogtagbuddies.org. That's Tom's story, Dee Dee. And we see 1 minute of that, and we can hear, and you can even hear it in his voice. But those statements that will – they stand out just in and of themselves. I'm never going to go back to the way I was before military service. But Boomer's here with me, and we're going to do it together, and it's going to be okay.
Yep. And I think, you know, one of the things that people don't understand about my program is I am not the first choice for a veteran. I'm not the second. I'm probably not even the third or fourth. I'm probably the fifth or sixth. So they've gone through years of going to the VA, medication, counseling, maybe some self-medicating, poor life choices. You know, they've tried a lot of different things. So by the time they get to us, usually about 10 years out of the military service, they have lost, built, or really damaged relationships, which is hard. And one of the things that we talk about is these veterans, when they come in, they will readily admit they experience suicidal ideation on almost a daily basis. That's a lot of heavy stuff. And knowing that, for us, as they start our program, we see them weekly. They come to us weekly. You know, we were talking a little bit about our uniqueness, and we are unique across the country in that because Montana is so big, because we are considered frontier rural, it's a lot of space. And we have veterans located throughout the entire state of Montana. So one of the things we wanted to do was make sure if a veteran doesn't live here in Billings, how can we help them participate?
Yeah.
So we put trainer, we've got trainers located throughout the state. So back to the suicidal ideation, we are helping them learn new skills and strategies to realize that we don't have to be in fight or flight all the time. We can move into executive thinking, and we can do it because we have a dog beside us. These dogs are trained to go through life beside the veteran, not in front of or behind. We're not training these dogs to do things to keep the crowd away, to keep people away from them, or to tell them, hey, everything is scary. We are training the veteran to learn that when the dog tells them, hey, something's going on, then it's up to the veteran to be able to recognize and acknowledge what that is and then learn the strategies and tools to move forward. What does that look like?
How do you teach a dog to look out for that?
So it's a very scientific term. When I talk to these veterans, I tell them the dog is not the magic pill. Dog is not going to fix everything for you any more than a medication. It's going to help with the symptoms. So this is the very scientific term. We teach the dog to recognize the thing before the thing before the thing. So an example would be, I had a veteran that we were talking about what we need to train the dog to do. She says, I need you to train this dog to go find my partner when I black out in the store. And I said, no, I don't. That's not realistic. What happens before that? And what happens before that? And what happens before that? If I can catch what's happening to the veteran way back here before they have a full-on meltdown, we can prevent this meltdown. So we want to go way back here. And when the dog knows what that looks like and the dog is alerting the veteran, again, they're not the magic pill. The dog isn't going to say, hey, you're about to have a meltdown. The dog is going to bump them with their nose and say, hey, 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 pay attention to me. It's up to the veteran then to have the skills to recognize, first of all, my dog just told me something. What's going on? It's kind of like if I teach the dog that the alarm is going off, go get the medicine bag and bring it and drop it in your lap so you can take your meds. If you don't take those meds, how valuable are they? They serve no purpose. You have to be the one to take the action. And that's what we're teaching our veterans with these dogs. These dogs are not going to take that action for you. They're simply going to tell you something is going on. You then have to learn so that they can move from that fight or flight to what's next.
What I really love about that is it puts the responsibility back in the veteran's hands for their own self-care.
Yes.
Which is where it belongs in the first place. And,
yes.
And that's probably one of the toughest things I think you have to get veterans over is to come and say, I don't know what I need. Maybe it's a dog, but I need something. Where do I start?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That ownership. And so when we talk about how, and for us, it's not just about the veteran. So we talked a little bit about the relational. This is a relationship. We're teaching them how to build a new relationship with the dog. But for our veterans, we're also teaching them how to rebuild and build new relationships with humans. If they can have a better relationship and a better life because they've got that dog beside them, they become better parents. They become better spouses. They become better family members, they become better employees, better community members. So we have this huge ripple effect. And by virtue of that, we're also helping the families because these veterans are able to re-engage. You heard Tom's story. I wanted to go to my kids' events. I couldn't do that.
Wow. Yeah.
So now he's able to build a relationship. He's built a relationship with his son who was a senior in high school. And if he had waited much longer, the relationship he has today may not have ever happened. That's a big deal. And when we're talking about our kids, we're talking about the next generation. We really want these kids to know that, hey, they're not doing these things because they want to. They have to learn the new strategies and skills. And for Tom, it was so important for him to learn to be that person.
I got a minute and before the next segment, and we'll kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about this Ride for Life. But the training itself, it seems so interesting to me, how you train a dog like that. And you've got staff out there. I'm not even getting to a question here because there's not a ton of time left. But what kind talk about your staff a little bit and the dogs that
I have amazing staff. I love my staff. So when we talk about training service dogs, we're talking about training to a level that most people will never understand. And I love when people, I've got a trained service dog. Okay, that's cute that you... Training these dogs takes us a year and a half to 2 years. And we are just touching the surface when we talk about training them. We're actually training both ends of the leash, the dog and the veteran.
Yeah.
And the training that goes into it is amazing. It's so cool.
Year and a half. That's what surprises me a little bit. So, and you know, you'll also do dog obedience training. These are not service dogs. I suppose they're just pets.
Yep.
That you can train to recognize some of these things. Dee Dee Baker earlier on, she's with us here in studio as well, founder and executive director of Dog Tag Buddies, nonprofit organization, just what it sounds like, getting animals together, hooked up, creating that relationship with veterans that helps them along their way. Let's welcome Tina Beach here as well. Tenacious Dames is, she's the Billings chapter president. And I guess we got Lori Balser with us as well, who's the state president for this women's riding group. And we've talked with Tina in the past as well. Good morning, Tina. How are you?
Good. Great to hear your voice, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for being here. Did you and Lori take a ride over the weekend?
Well, I'm sad to say I didn't. I actually spent more time with the memorial festivities going on, and I didn't ride. But with that, I just wanted to share, too, that I didn't realize until this weekend that Montana is one of the top five states in the United States for military service. And so it's an honor to be on your show today to talk about the issues we have to address in our state.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for being here. I've got a couple of calls, and they've been waiting. So Dee Dee Baker has been in studio here talking about Dog Tag Buddies. Stand by, Tina. And, well, we haven't said hello to Lori yet. Hello, Lori. What's going on with you?
Good morning. I am great. And I was unable to ride because I had a grandnephew that was graduating high school down in Houston. So I had the privilege to be down there for a few days and celebrate his achievement.
Wow. Congratulations on all that. I know that you guys have teamed up with Dog Tag Buddies and there's more to it here. This annual ride for tomorrow, a lot going on. We want to get to that, but I do have some callers. They have some questions today. So let's get to Skip listening in Hamilton real quick on KLYQ. Skip, thanks for standing by. Got a question today.
And thank you, Tom. My question was for Dee Dee. In my life, I've done a lot of things with CDX and CD in dog shows, and my guess is what you do is way deeper than that. And I appreciated your explanations. In your program, could you give the listeners an idea of how much it costs you, I'll say, per unit, however you want to describe a unit, whether it be dog or a combination of dog and handler?
Absolutely.
That way people know, for your nonprofit, how they can help you out.
Good.
And I thought you might appreciate that. And thank you for all you do. And thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Skip.
Thank you for the question. Yeah, so over a two-year time period, it costs us about $24,000 to fully train both ends of the leash. Everything we do is at no cost to our veterans. So when we talk about those costs, we're talking about the expense associated with acquiring the dog, all of the veterinary care, all of the food, all of the equipment, all of the training. So it is a pretty lengthy process and making sure that we are removing the barriers for our veterans the best way we can. And part of that includes, you know, this is my way of being able to give back to them and honor their service. So the cost and everything that we do is either funded through donations and grants throughout the communities. And we've been very blessed. You know, Montana is such a great supportive state when it comes to working with veteran organizations.
And thank you for that, Skip and Dee Dee. Let's get a comment here, because one of those people, one of those groups of folks that are coming alongside folks like Dee Dee Baker and Dog Tag Buddies is this women's riding club called Tenacious Dames. By the way, Tina and Lori, I just love that name. It just speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, Dame, it stands for strength. And when you say tenacious, either we're stubborn, strong, and we're persistent. So that's where the name gave birth from, was those two words.
Well, and talking about funding, this is why you guys are coming alongside here as well with this I Ride for Life. Talk about, and it's been going on now. This will be your fourth annual trip. I don't care. Laura, you want this one?
Certainly. Let me give you just a little basic background about the Tenacious Dames. So we started in 2013. Our mission is to, you know, grab some women and let's ride, you know, let's get that empowerment through the love of riding.
It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that, does it?
No, yeah. No. And through that, we like to get involved with organizations and to push our love for riding and our empowerment for women and to assist in any way we possibly can. And we have around anywhere from 140 to 180 members at any given time throughout the state of Montana. So with that, we can take our tenacious attitude, try to put a little power behind it, and hopefully assist organizations like Dog Tag Buddies that do so much, you know, for our residents, not just in Montana, but in the area, and for our veterans, who this makes such a great difference.
Tina, talk about, I'm sorry, thank you, Lori. So the event, the Ride for Tomorrow, actually, pardon me, Ride for Tomorrow is held June 15th. And Tina, you've got like three different rides. The thing in about this is this is a challenging ride, too.
Absolutely. You know, as you have spoken to the fact that Dee Dee's working hard with our veterans, we also know that, and what we hate to see, and I would say almost every one of us have probably been impacted by suicide. So about 4 years ago, we decided to partner with Dog Tag Buddies to really push the agenda and create conversation about driving down those numbers. Just like we're number one for military service or in the top five for military service, we are in the top five for suicide. And that especially hits our veterans that have served and also those that haven't served as well in our communities. And so the Tenacious Dames really felt that we are women empowering women through the love of riding, and we wanted to take this message out to try to decrease suicide numbers. And Dee Dee's organization offers a class called QPR, Question, Persuade, Refer, that's free to anybody that would request that from their organization to come out and talk about QPR. And the average cost of that can be anywhere from $500 to $750. And just like she says about the, you know, cost of training animals, and it's a two-year process, you know, we don't like the fact that we are in the top five and have been for nearly, and Dee Dee can probably correct me, over 30-some years. And so we want to drive that number down. We do not want to be in the top five for suicide. We want to drive it down. So we have been partnering with them with three challenging rides. This is not one of those rides you get on and drink and go bar from bar or whatever, anything like that. It is definitely a 300-mile ride, a 500, and one of the biggest ones is 1,000 miles in less than 24 hours. It not only pushes you physically, but also mentally. And people that do that will get an Iron Butt certification, and that's a national recognition. Their name will be listed, and you can do it all in the state of Montana.
A lot of chapters. There's 10 across the state of Montana as well. And so this is pretty fun ride. I know that. You can go to the website, to Tenacious Dames. You might have to look it up how to spell it, or maybe you just know it, but tenaciousdames.com, and they'll show you where that ride is. That's also on Dog Tag Buddy's website, too. You know, so across Montana, it's a beautiful, beautiful place to have a ride. And I know that, Dee Dee, you might have wanted to follow up on some of that, how they are coming alongside of you for this very specific and worthy cause.
Yep, and I think it's so important because, you know, as Tina mentioned, when we talk about suicide in Montana, we have been, right now we are currently second in the nation. We have been in the top five over the last 40 years. We're not moving the needle.
Yeah.
You know, it's the second leading cause in Montana for ages 10 to 34. It's the sixth leading cause for ages 35 to 54, and the seventh when we go 55 to 64. So when we look at this, it affects all demographics across the state. And when we look at our veterans and we look at 1 in 10 is a veteran in the state of Montana, that means 9 of us are touched by veterans. So if we can go out and we can help educate those, whether they're a veteran or a family member of a veteran, to help learn what are the signs and symptoms of suicide, what are the challenges that we're looking at when we start having these conversations. And for us, it goes a step further. This Ride for Tomorrow was an opportunity initially for us to get out across the state of Montana. We are considered frontier rural. We're a medical wasteland. We don't have providers in some of these smaller communities. Yeah. And for each death by suicide, it impacts a minimum of 130 people. And when you're in a smaller community, that number's even higher. And one of the things that's so, so important to me and to our organization is to get people talking about this. You know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. We all have mental health, every single one of us. And the challenge is, we're not talking about it. And mental health, you can have great mental health, you can have crappy mental health, but in between, you've got all of these areas that need to be addressed. People will walk into a room and they'll talk about the medications they're on, they'll talk about their physical ailments, they'll talk about everything that hurts, but we don't talk about our health. We don't talk about the mental component, and it is important. We've got to remove that stigma. We've got to start talking about it, and we've got to start looking at it and recognizing it.
This is where QPR comes about. Question, persuade, and refer. All right, time for that lightning round. Got a few things we want to get into. The QPR, question, persuade, and refer is one thing, but with us in studio, Dee Dee Baker, Dog Tag Buddies, Tina Beach, and Lori Bolster from Tenacious Dames. We'll get a quick call because I know she's got a dog story or two. Inga listening in West Glacier. And good morning, Inga. You're on the air here on Voices of Montana.
Thank you. I'll talk fast. Dee Dee, I appreciate you. We need more of you. I got a service dog for myself and my husband. He was dying. He got to know her for a little bit. Mm-hmm. My dogs do CPR. They bought me that. I have a number of health issues. A lot of guys will walk up to me. One did, and he says, I see you have a service dog. Yes. And he says, may I talk to her? And I walked away. I says, I'll be down there. You talk to her. When we got done, he says, thank you, ma'am. I was really thinking of doing something that I would have no more problems. And he says, what do I owe you? And I says, you don't owe me a dime. You already paid me. He says, ma'am, I've never met you. I says, no, but you fought for my rights of speech, and it gets me in a lot of trouble.
that's
my
amazing.
Dogs do that automatic. They sense when you have anything that's going to happen. And if she would like to call me, I'd love to share the way the vets come up to me. It might help her. You can give her my phone number if you like, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Inga.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, I'm choked up a little bit too, because that's the sort of thing, you know, Tina, Lori, Dee Dee, that you want. You got a program, and it doesn't have to be the biggest program ever. What you want is those little moments that people can take advantage of, Tina.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing, and that's why we felt like this is just such a worthy cause. So if there's anybody that could be interested in riding these rides, volunteering or sponsoring our work with Dog Tag Buddies, they can check out our Facebook page. It's Ride for Tomorrow 406. The very top thing is how to register, and the next thing is how do you donate or volunteer. Maybe that's just serving water and snacks at some of the stops across the state when we ride on June 15th, and or donating small things for the riders that are actually doing this event. To encourage them. Maybe it's chapstick or something like that. But please check out our Ride for Tomorrow 406 Facebook page.
Thank
if you're interested.
Yeah, and support that. That's one of the reasons why we're here. Dee Dee, tell us about QPR. I mean, it's rather new, I think, but as we say, everyone has a role, and that's teach us how to do it right.
And I think, again, that's why I'm so grateful and appreciative for what the dames are doing and the motorcycle clubs that are participating, because QPR is question, persuade, refer. It's very similar to CPR. CPR, we're saving a life by doing compressions. When we're doing QPR, we're saving a life by asking a question. And I don't think people understand the value. You don't have to be a licensed clinical social worker. You don't have to be a professional. We can see the signs and symptoms of someone that's in crisis. And we have to get okay with asking those questions. And that's the hard part, because for most people, you know, when you start looking at somebody that's potentially in crisis and you are observing this, how do you approach it? How do you talk to that person, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker? You might be the one person that saves their life because you took the time to learn these strategies to be able to engage and say, hey, Tom, I've been really worried about you. Can we sit down and visit? That's really hard for people. And that's one of the things when I do these QPR trainings, you know, all of the funds from these rides helps us do that. And I think that's so important and so valuable, because I can go anywhere at any time and do these presentations for groups. This last year, when the Tenacious Dames provided us with the funding, this year we're actually using those to train more people to be able to do QPR trainings. Yes. It's that important. Yes. We got to keep talking about this stuff. It matters.
See, Tina and Lori, the things that you guys do matter. So thank you. Keep it up and be safe. All right.
Yes, we certainly try. We try in several different ways. We have this event. We also have an event that's happening in Lewistown.
July 12th through the 14th, the Lewistown Bike
Absolutely.
Rally. Real quickly, yep. Are you guys both Iron Butt certified?
Yes, I've done it 3 times.
That's why you're tenacious, right? That's Tina and Laura, tenaciousdames.com, and Dee Dee Baker from Dog Tag Buddies. It's dogtagbuddies.org for more information. Thank you guys for what you do.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.